Today is Tuesday, December 4, 2008. My name is George Ann, and you're listening to Breaking Through. I appreciate everyone's emails and phone calls asking when the show is going to resume. It validates the reason I do this is for you. The benefit of producing my own show is that I'm only willing to shine a light on individuals that I feel are thought-provoking and inspirational. And I took that vow very seriously. I learned how many countries access the archive shows. And with that said, next week, my special guest is going to be astrologer and best-selling author Susan Miller, so I don't want you to miss that. But tonight, I'm kicking off the new season with, as everybody knows, my favorite visionary, author, speaker, you name it because he does so much, my favorite guy, Danyon Brinkley. Danyon, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, George Ann, and happy holidays, and thank you for having me. And thank you for putting and beginning this new show in this new season.
Oh, I couldn't think of anyone else I'd want to start it with.
Hugs and kisses.
Well, for the listeners that haven't been paying close attention to Danyon, it's time to listen up, so sit tight. We're going to talk about a lot of things that are going to interest you. He's going to help us make sense, I think, of this roller coaster ride everyone's been on lately. Or I should say our country has been on lately. And we're going to talk about his book, because this book is really the most important book he's probably ever written, because it's really going to come in very handy right now. So, Danyon, I want to talk about, first of all, if anyone has not read Saved by the Light, we're not going to talk as much about Saved by the Light. We're going to talk about some other things, but I want to make sure everyone gets that book if you haven't read it yet, because
it's just out again, Georgia, and it just came out November 25th.
Did it?
They republished Saved. Harper did, and it came out the 25th, the same as The Secret. They put them out together so that people could look at the history. You know, here is 58 years of dealing with A-Life and 33 years of looking at the near-death experience.
Exactly. Well, that book was pivotal for me. I mean, that's how I learned about you 13, almost 14 years ago. But that was the whole reason I started. It just resonated with me. It spoke to me. And even to this day, Danyon, I pick up that book and I'll reread it. And it's like I find things that I didn't realize. I thought I knew it all. I thought I read every word. But for some reason, some things just pop out at me a little bit more now than it did even back then.
Well, let me explain why. Because when you have a panoramic life review, and you know, I was struck by lightning twice, had a first near-death experience, and then open-heart surgery and brain surgery over 22 years. So it's like in 1975, 1989, and 1997. It was 14 years between the first one and when I had the second one, and 7 years between the second one and the third one. And then being a hospice volunteer for all those years. When I write a book, I know the panoramic life review, and so I structure it as a hologram. Mm-hmm. The most best constructed hologram is Secrets of the Light, but Saved and at Peace are holograms, so that as people look back through it and they look at the boxes of knowledge, they're going to have points of revelation that come to them, because I've been saying this stuff since 1976. I just understand it better. When we wrote the boxes of knowledge, what became to be the future, I didn't know it then, but what became to be the future, when Paul and I were writing them and Saved, I left them the way they were. I wouldn't change them. I said, Paul, this is the way I perceived it in 1975, and this is a book about how it happened in 1975, not 1993 when I wrote it. But I knew a lot more about how the palpable possibilities and potential of what the visions were when I saw the boxes of knowledge. And what I now know was that those boxes of knowledge were potential impossibilities or probable possibilities of the future, but what it now tells me is it all happens at the same time. Wow. You know, it is no past or present. It's all now. And those possibilities is only direction at which we focus in individually that manifests what we think is reality. But I didn't know that when it happened. So I construct things so that when you read through the paragraphs, they're a sentence structure that open up spiritual consciousness. And I did it. I decided not to hide that so much when we did Secrets of the Light, and I just put the undercurrent as the lessons within the book.
Wow. Well, that explains a lot, and that's a good reason why everyone, if they have the book, they should reread it again, because you'll get more out of it.
And you look through the boxes of knowledge, and you will see there's a stream of consciousness that we're falling for,
exactly,
as opposed to a stream of consciousness and potential that we could spiritually unfold, as opposed to go crazy thinking that it's all our fault because we bought too much stuff.
Right.
This whole economic stuff is contrived. I believe that there is a tremendous growth period of spirituality because of what we call the 2012, the Mayans, the end of time, all that stuff. That's just a viewpoint. There's also a point from the ending of an era, 26,000-year cycle of the processional through the constellations, that our solar system and within our galaxy that we call the Milky Way moves through what is called the universe. This is proven. This is no longer mythology or theory or, you know, some kind of parable. It really happens. And the fact that you can do core drillings in Antarctica and in the tundras of Siberia and realize that every 26,000 years the Earth goes through this cycle. So what we have to realize is a new era is being born, and those who know this as well as probably some of the great spiritual leaders have to create fear. Because if you're too busy muddling through, stressing out, and paying your bills and going broke, when this wave of beautiful cosmic energy passes through, it's a light, delicate energy, and we'll miss it. Now, I've been at this for 33 years. When I saw the harmonic convergence in 1987, part of the visions of the boxes of knowledge, all of a sudden, my mind just opened in a revelation. And as we move through this time period, we have to stay focused on our spirituality. We have to stay focused that this is the time that we must open up our consciousness and our hearts first in gratitude. Two of the greatest powers in the universe is gratitude, to be thankful. Because being thankful sets the value of your love as you perceive it. Okay, and then number two, forgiveness. Because to forgive and structure how you're going to forgive and why sets in motion your spiritual ability to enter higher planes and levels of consciousness to perceive what to do. And, you know, if an idiot like me can get it, then anybody can get it. But you just have to stop and pay attention to the fact that this is how it works.
Right.
And then you either use it or you don't. But at least we have done our job, you in creating this show and streaming this information, and me talking about it and writing books, that I will always win this argument, Georgianne, you know, because I know what's next.
Exactly. Well, I won't fight
you. You can either listen and apply the principles now, or you can take that last breath. I'm going to still be right.
Let me ask you a question, Daniel, about the collective, because I realized there was one point where I felt like I was getting off balance because of all the things going on around me and the collective energy, and it took me a while to get my balance back again. Do you think that's unusual?
It's happening to everybody. What brought you balance, yourself back into balance, was your spiritual self.
Right.
You know, and not getting caught up in all the trappings of being Georgianne. You know, all of a sudden there's a spiritual self. Like, people teach best what they most need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to learn is to not be so gluttonous and to not be so selfish.
Amen.
And to not be an I generation or a me, because the world economically is collapsing.
Right.
And who is the biggest driver of that gluttonous personality in nature? We.
Exactly.
Are. We consume 95% of everything produced in the world.
It's crazy.
At least most of it. Look in your own refrigerators.
Yeah. Well, and they wonder what the problem with obesity is.
Well, it's just one more point of losing your spiritual focus and looking at our gluttonous identity. I'm as guilty as anybody, but not from a point that I don't stay grounded. You know, if people listen to those lectures and read these books, they see I'm looking at it from more levels than just what is face value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never believed any of this. 25 years old, everybody goes to hell where we come from. Everybody. I mean, that's the Bible Belt. So one day I never believed a word of it. I thought it was crap. Then the next day I was dead. And the day after that I became everything I never believed.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from total absolute disregard to how in the world does this work?
Exactly.
And that's where my life has been. So I'm very emphatic about the things that I think and that I know. And I want people to use it. I mean, I believe that what we're doing is trying to stem and turn the tide between world war and world peace.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I know that we win. We will push peace. Mm-hmm. Because we will realize over the next 2 years how big a fraud is being perpetuated on us.
Wow.
And in 2010, during those solar flares and that activity, we will grow so fast, and the economy will have to stay the way it is in hopes that more of us don't grow and the old paradigm can stay into play.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think we're going to have that. We will become wise, and we will find balance and harmony, and we will take back our spiritual lives and balance this country and set new standards of how we operate in the world, because those who tend to try to keep us under that thumb, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. they're working just as hard as we are.
And, you know, they're trying to find someone to put the blame on. You know, it's got to be someone's fault. And that is where the news is constantly looking, the media is constantly looking for someone to blame.
Well, it's easy. It's easy. We did it.
Isn't that distracting, though, if thinking that there's somebody, one group of people, a government or an organization or Wall Street or somebody that's responsible for everything, and they're just looking for someone to blame?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that because it seems to be a planned strategy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Look who the big three auto industry, look who they're blaming. They're blaming the workers.
Right.
They're blaming the unions but for their problems, and they want to get $34 billion to build and save their business, and they want to fire 35,000 more people. Well, if you destroy the middle class, how in the world are you going to build cars for them to buy? And if you look at the automobile industry, the only thing left in the world that we manufacture other than weapons is automobiles. Okay, that's all. And we are and look at those companies. They sell more cars than anybody. They're losing shares of market, maybe in America because they built this junk. But nonetheless, it is the industry that has driven. It is the industry that has driven the American economy for the last 80 years.
Wow. Yeah. And every day they're coming up with a new figure on what it's going to take for them to survive.
It'll be $8
trillion?
Yeah, that means your great grandchildren 13 times will still be paying the debt.
Oh my gosh!
13 or 14 times, but it's an illusion. It's not real.
Mm.
How can we go $8 trillion in debt to save the economic stability of the United States? That the moment you hear that, you can only laugh.
Mm.
Because that means we have all gone crazy. And then you look at how they structured it. See, I see the plot, and I'm not a conspiriologist. You know, I'm just a realist, and when you've been dead, you can look at things. You don't have a choice but to look at things from whole different paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that, you know, being obsessive compulsive. I would study anything. You know, you can't kill me and not think I'm going to do a study on it.
But you may not have been like that before you died the first time.
No, because I was not. There was none of this stuff that even interests me. And I thought I had the whole world figured out at 25.
Didn't we all?
Like everybody else. And then all of a sudden, I lived 2 years in dimensions. I wasn't always back here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took me, I was completely paralyzed. I see, dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months, and 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. And I lived in these multiple dimensions, and there was nothing I could do.
Mm.
Partially, it was my body healing from the lightning. And second, it was because the course of what had happened to me, I had begun to roam through multiple dimensions. It only took a frequency response or a harmonizing tone of something I heard or something I was trying to figure out, and then I would just enter these levels of consciousness.
Wow.
And so, not by any choice of my own.
Exactly.
And then I had to understand it. You can't kill me and not think I'm going to be curious.
Yeah, it made me. It didn't even happen to me, and I was curious.
Well, but you see, that's the joy. So which one of us is the smartest? You are.
I don't know about that, but...
I said.
Okay.
I got $750,000, and I still owe $100,000.
Occasion.
All you did was get out of debt and be smart.
Well, thanks to you. I don't know if anyone heard the if you didn't hear the last show Danyon did last year, you have to listen to that also after you listen to this one, because he gave us a blueprint, pretty much what we needed to do or what would have helped us through this past year, and I took it as law. And he helped me, and as a result, helped a lot of my clients, friends, listeners, helped everybody. So that's why I felt it was very important to have you here. And I also know that the seven truths that are in your new book is going to help a lot of people. And I want to talk about that a little bit right now, before we go any further, because I believe the secrets of the light, lessons from heaven, I believe this book is going to be critically important, especially the seven truths, where people refer to that quite often. I mean, you may as well just put it on your bulletin board and read it constantly.
Yeah, you can take that section. And here's what happened there, Georgianne. Kat, my beautiful, loving wife, Catherine, because I deal with I have this personality quirk, I'm obsessed with death. And it's just a thrill to me. You know, I have a saying, if it ain't funny, it ain't spiritual. And if anybody tells you something about spirit that doesn't make you laugh, then that's a liar. And I have a way that I look at it, and she would watch me dealing with people who were in transition, and I can walk in the room and perceive and size up what the issue is and sit down and handle it. How to have closure between the person who's living and a lot of times family members who are staying behind. And she would say, how would you do that? And how do you do that? And I have a instant methodology based on the laws that I have seen and learned operate, because I see them all the time at work. And I had just had a method of what questions I would ask and how to create that place, because I could empathically pick up where the problems were, or I could intellectually pick up where the problems were. And she said, well, why aren't you telling people this stuff? Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I didn't want to write another book after At Peace in the Light was, in the third near-death experience, I went to this place that was the same place I went through the first two times, and I call it the blue-gray place between this world and the next world. But the first two times, Georgianne, I thought it was just me there. I didn't see anybody else. Mm-hmm. The third time, when I lifted out of my body, I didn't float above me. I was standing at the foot of the bed, looking at them shaving my head and setting this rig up to put a drill to drill holes in my head. Mm. And I was watching that, and I had never stood beside me. It always floated above me. And I went to the blue-gray place, but I realized that this was a dimension whole up unto itself. And as I looked at it, I could see different levels of people who by choice chose not to go down the tunnel and into the spiritual level and to go through the panoramic life of you and then to return to their basic home. We don't all come from the same place. And you go back to your crystal city or that little vibratory level of consciousness. So when I saw this, all of a sudden in the Danyon's perfect viewpoint of end of life and the transition, a new dimension had been added. But people get petty, and people get selfish, and people get humiliated, and people lose their integrity and their own identity, and people don't appreciate the value of their love, gratitude, and forgiveness, and they choose not to pass from this world into the next. Mm. And I realized that this place could get filled. I mean, nothing is infinite when it comes as a structural system from the material physical world to the ethereal divine or the ethereal spiritual or the ethereal divine world. And so I found a whole new mission in my life, but I didn't want to talk about it. And so I waited until I had a really good grip on it and probably had been with another 100 people who, when they took their last breath, are probably close to 160. And then I'd probably been with another 1,000 people within days and hours of them passing. Then I realized it was by choice. And that people need to get their acts together. And when they get to worrying about death and fear, and then the fact that the transition from this world to the next is very simple and very easy, and the fact that the largest growth of a Western consciousness are we, the baby boomers, and that this period would begin our identity and our decline, then this place could get clogged. And my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and people would have a tougher time getting through that maze of people to get down the tunnel. So when I would sit down and describe this stuff to Kat, and, you know, she's brilliant, and she said, listen, we have to write this book no matter what you're afraid of. Now, this is what we have to do, because She could see how fast I can size up what the situation is and how I could help people in crisis as they're leaving this world and those who stay behind. So I structured it in a way, and we created the lessons or the truths, because literally every event that you encounter in your life can be framed into one of these boxes, one of these truths, so that you have a visual way to look at it, so you're accessing higher levels of consciousness because of the way we structured the chapters. You being a spiritual being would automatically perceive how to view what's going on around you with a higher, more refined consciousness so that you can make the right decision. So we wrote them as a hologram. And you can read these things over and over again, and you can go to the fourfold path in the secrets, and I can get you out of anything you got your crazy self in. I don't care what it is.
Well, that'll come in very handy, and I think it's going to come in handy for a lot of people.
But in the next 2 years, it's like I believe what you just said. Everybody, you know, I've lived this life for 58 years, and I've looked at this for 33 years, and I have studied it so that I can help people not be afraid.
Exactly.
Because when you become, what fear is when you let something get between you and your divine self, or between you and God. And the moment that, if you know the world is a, that everything is a part of the divine and we're all connected and heaven is everywhere, not just a separate place, and you become afraid of it, then whatever's created that fear was an illusion you created. Or some illusion you fell for based on what someone else created. And we had to stop it.
Right.
We're either going to have a worldwide war on terror, or we're going to have a period of great peace.
I have to say, Daniel, that until this economic issue came up, I really did not realize the magnitude of how connected we are in every way. I mean, when you realize that what's happening here affects all the other countries, it affects the people. When you see a president, you know, get elected and how everybody is celebrating in other countries, I've never seen that historically. I've never seen that before.
Well, I think it happened with George Washington.
Well, I didn't study that one as much.
Years ago when George came, I mean, we had beaten the British. We were in 1779 when we finally won the war. America had crushed Harold Britannia. The British as a ruling world empire and the dominant force within the Europe's Asia and Eastern Asia and even into Africa. We had broken their backs. And so that was a point. And now with this new president, it appears that we've moved past racism. It appears that we've moved into someone's caring and stem cells and environmental and creating or saving jobs and 2.5 million jobs. But anybody would celebrate after George Bush.
Yeah, I think so. And
it'll be the worst president we ever had. Equal to, and I mean, I'm an ultra conservative person, but I'm also social moderate. And looking at these kinds of things, then maybe one of the Adamses was as bad or worse.
Right.
You know, he didn't have a grip.
Not at all. Not at all. And I think some of us were the last ones to know it, and I don't understand that, but we reelected him.
You know, we hid. We went $1 trillion into debt. It took us 230 years to get $1 trillion in debt, and Bush did it in 7.
Right. Right.
He put us $1 trillion more in debt. Because he was just patching things. And the way that they were doing with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and the way they were bundling mortgages, and then the way they were doing derivatives based on the bundling of the mortgages as an asset. Somebody planned that. Nobody just happened to accidentally do that. And when you saw the mortgage crisis of us giving everybody 120% of the value of the property so they could go ownership, and the fact that Greenspan reduced the interest rate so that it made it viable as a business, this was a plot. There was no question this was a plot.
It had to be. You know, it felt like dominoes. You know, the game of dominoes where one tile makes all the rest of them fall. And that's almost what it seemed like as soon as gas prices went up. As soon as they started getting this, and you predicted that on the last show, you were talking about it getting about $5 a gallon.
Which, and $150 a barrel.
Yeah, you predicted that. And
it got $147.95, and then I said it would fall down to $55, and it would, you would watch the collapses of so many of the structures. Look at Saudi Arabia and Dubai and Russia now, and look at Iran. It is collapsing under the value and the price of gas.
Exactly. Exactly. So, as soon as the gas prices went up, it almost felt like a domino. Like, then it was, you know, it was real estate. Then it was just one thing after another. It just, it was like a succession of events.
I would take, the mortgage crisis before I take oil prices. Because what drives industry and like what India and China are doing as they become industrialized is oil. So the value in the price of oil, knowing that it's a limited commodity, as we now use it and pump it, would be separate. Mm. But when you look at a mortgage crisis, you put five-year arms on it. Mm-hmm. Then you put a renewable five-year arm on it. That means you only pay interest for the first 5 years. Then you could calculate from 2002 and 3, when the president was always talking about ownership, more people own homes now than ever before. This was his battle cry for them for 3 years.
Right.
Well, and the ownership society is what he was pushing. Well, the very moment that you knew those 5 year arms are going to run out and it was going to go from 1% to 5.5 and 6%, and then you had to start paying your mortgage payment, you knew that that would be the collapse.
I think he was just hoping it would happen after he left office, I'm sure.
What now?
I'm sure he was hoping it would all happen when he left office.
Yeah, everybody was trying, but all of a sudden the mortgages came due.
Right.
It came due, and you know what they had planned to happen in the middle of next March happened last March.
Wow. You know, I'm going to go off the subject just a little bit, but what do you think about all this?
What subject are we on?
We're talking about our economy, but I'm wondering about all this money we're printing.
That's all stupid. It's just a piece of paper with a dead man's picture on it. And, you know, someone asked me the other day on a show, they said, Daniel, let me ask you something. You know, you talk about death and dying, but, you know, you have interest in a lot of stuff. And they said, what do you think has happened to this country and economically? I said, that's very easy to see. Spiritually, we've lost faith and trust in our government.
Mm-hmm.
Our money is based on the fact that we trust the government. Every time you spend a Federal Reserve note, you're declaring a $1 debt.
Right.
Says that when you buy something, you're declaring a debt that you in this country owe. Okay, that's what a Federal Reserve note is. So what happens is we have lost faith and trust in the system. We don't trust our government, and thereby not trusting our government and taking a good look at ourselves and who we are, we have lost faith.
Right.
Now, that's the spiritual power of what's happened. They print all the money they want. It's an illusion.
But it doesn't reduce the value.
Ones. And they're not even printing it anymore, Georgianne. They just put it on the computer. They just make it up. Where does the money come from if you go to get a mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
It's all electrical.
Right.
It's all computers. They don't go print some money and give it to a bank. The Federal Reserve allocates it. We have nothing that backs that paper except our ability as the world reserve currency, which means you can only buy oil in one place, London, and you can only pay for it in dollars. They're called petrodollars. And what us as the dollar being the reserve currency created that. I go in that in the secrets. You know, I don't want people to be spiritually delusional.
Right.
Because I still do hospice work. And I still look at my investments, and I still look at the money accounts. I saw the 401k go to hell. Because I didn't think it would be as bad, because I thought we would catch on. And the whole power that we base it on is the election of Barack Obama. And then we will see.
Mm-hmm.
Because all these, this time for change, and change is needed, and you know, now is the time. I never heard any specifics.
Right.
It was just us having faith in a system that America can rise above bigotry and racism and elect a biracial man to the presidency, and to bring that's what the world is celebrating.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, anybody would celebrate when George was leaving. I'm sorry. You know, I liked him. I met him in 1984. When, I think it was 84, I met him, I think it was with Lee Atwater, who was the chairman of the Republican National Committee, and they were friends, and I met him at probably a red, white, and blue restaurant when I was a defense contractor in Washington, and he was an affable guy. He was just like a frat guy, though. He's always, you know, talking sports and living college football or baseball. A cheerleader.
But hardly maybe the type of man that could be running our country. I don't know.
They've already proven that.
Yeah. Could have stuck with baseball. We would have done better there.
Well, we don't know. I mean, he led us into a place where we trusted our government, and our government broke every law. It went to war. It disregarded the Geneva Convention, and it attacked a country that didn't have anything to do with what had happened to us.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly. I 100% agree.
So when I look at all the stuff that's gotten us so far off track, that when Kat and I sat down, I know people need not to be afraid.
Okay.
And it's an illusion. Mm-hmm. And if you're scared of a shadow, then when the truth appears, you're looking for the shadow it's casting as opposed to looking at the truth. This is the greatest time to grow. Mm-hmm. I believe that Secrets of the Light is a great methodology. You know, it's a great way to frame this life, and you just read it over and you take the truths or the lessons out, the seven lessons, and you put them around the house. Mm-hmm. You just copy them out and you print them around so that you can see them. They're short little pieces, and when something catches you, the point, you can go to the book and read the rest of the chapter, so you'll be amazed at what you see about life.
Exactly. No, I fully agree. And we need something to refer to, we really do, because we are inundated. The media is all around us. I mean, it's not enough to read a newspaper. You have the news, you have radio, you have the internet. News is everywhere. And this information is coming at you in so many directions that you really have to have a safe place to go to get back in balance again.
Well, like you said, a filter.
Right.
You know, you have a filter. You need a way to filter it to see what's real and what's not real, how it affects you emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. These are all completely different parts of your life. Everybody tries to run it all together, Georgianne. Oh, what does God want me to do? Oh, what's the meaning of life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a physical existence, you have a mental existence, you have an emotional existence, and the emotional existence is just attitude. Everybody thinks emotions are so serious. To a spiritual being, an emotion is some attitude that a mental physical being has about something it likes or doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I laugh at emotions. Look at anger.
Right.
Happiness is the only emotion, and then the rest of that stuff is just attitudes about what makes you happy or what doesn't make you happy.
Exactly.
All right, and then you have an ethereal self. That's a conscious self, you know, a self that communes and connects to the universe and is in the ebb and flow like a raft or a baseball or a tennis ball floating on the ocean that's riding the waves. And then you have your spiritual or divine consciousness, which is the connection. It streams and flows through all things.
Right.
So when you know there's all four of them, you have to look at all four of them in any situation. How in the world did I get myself bankrupt? I bought too much stuff on credit.
Right.
Okay, how in the world I thought I should get this, and all they cared about is if I could make my monthly payment. Because they could make my monthly payment on an action I did to buy my house, and that payment that I'm making over 30 years is what they have faith in, that other people will leverage that currency.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, people paying for their houses every month becomes what's called an asset. And then you bundle those mortgages based on people's ability to pay. And people's ability to pay was based on 5 years, not 30 years, like standard psychologies of mortgages, because the world taught everybody that you can spend more money, because if you spend more money, things will only improve, and based on the time frame now, the values of everything is going up, and that was the psychology.
Mm-hmm.
But it would meet a saturated point. And all this came about in 1976. When you look at the Carter administration and you go back and you look at the fact that we, from the 40s, After World War II, we became a savings nation. It was how much you saved for your college and your education and your retirement. Mm-hmm. Well, the Japanese were doing that, and they were going broke because they were using the American model. So then in 1976, our gross national product didn't come from our production. Our gross national product came from what we produced and sold to other countries and how much of that profit and income we resolved in our jobs that we saved. Well, that didn't work. You could not collapse a nation and a world based on using the savings. So our gross national product shifted into a consumer-based. So our entire belief system and our entire nation is governed is based on how much credit you have and how much you can buy beyond your means, eat, stuff, and do beyond your means. And the whole faith and power of this nation is based on your belief that at a certain credit rating you can buy more than you need. Mm. And now, after 40 years, it's come home to roost. Mm. No problem. It's easy for me to see it. It doesn't drive me crazy. It doesn't freak me out. I don't get depressed. I just live in it and work every day like we all should. But we are spiritual beings. Right. And we're in the middle of an energy flow that is so transformative and so magnificent, we cannot let that be the driver.
Exactly.
Picking up intuitive and empathics and studying things and contemplating flowers. Like, I look at flower arrangements. I buy flowers for Catherine, but I don't really buy them for her. I buy them for me. She just likes them. And then I will set them in a certain part of the light, and I'll sit outside, and it's my meditation. I'll look at these flowers and see how they're composed, and you see so much amazement in that,
right,
that you stay calm, and we stay focused in spiritual unfoldment. That's what the secrets are about.
What would you say to the people that believe that things happen to them, that more of a victimization attitude, that, for example, that even things that happen in the world, that God's allowing something to happen or he's doing it, or where...
That's just never true.
I believe that too. But what would you say to people that want to believe that what they're experiencing in their life has nothing to do with them? They think that they're a victim of circumstance. Or what would you want to say to that person?
Well, first I'd laugh. And I'd say it's okay to be a little crazy.
Uh-huh.
No, in the conversation that you're having me is a little crazy. Whatever happened to you, you had it coming. Whatever's going on in the world, we caused it. We did it. We're either part of the problem or we're part of the solution. Mm-hmm. The fact that people are dying and being murdered and raped in Darfur, and we say that that's none of our business, is nothing we did to cause it. Absolutely ignorance of the knowledge of it and not doing anything about it only empowers it, and we are the cause of it. The fact that we did not call our congressmen and senators and elected officials on the carpet when we saw we were going $1 trillion in debt in wars over what? What were we fighting about? We didn't lose. If we were going to attack the nation who attacked us, we should have attacked Saudi Arabia. So we only picked the third largest oil source. If we'd attacked Saudi Arabia, we'd had the largest, because 17 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. Why didn't we attack Saudi Arabia? We attacked Afghanistan for a half hour, and then we attacked Iraq.
Doesn't make sense.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's no way. I don't care if you're a diehard redneck NRA, because I'm that. Well, I'm all those things, driving personality. There's no way you can buy that and think it's going to be real. And to have let it happen and to torture and to completely disavow the Geneva Conventions that were written at the end of World War I and World War II to create punishment and to create civility in how we wage wars, and to just blow that off?
Exactly.
Blow it off. And we let that happen? Well, whatever happened to us, we had it coming. And so whenever people tell me that, I think it's nice that they can believe that. Doesn't make it true. We are all responsible.
Right.
And every thought that we each have affects something or somewhere else, and that's the law. That's the law.
And that brings me to your famous saying, what is on your website, danyon.com. I'm going to plug that in real quick because I'm going to say it again later, but that we're mighty and powerful spiritual beings.
With dignity, direction, and purpose.
Exactly. So... And I think that's so profound, because I think if you believe that, and for everyone that's feeling down and out now, they have to realize that that is true, and that whatever they're experiencing, they can change.
Yeah, get over it. You're either somebody that was dumb who trusted the country that's now in bankruptcy, and we have destroyed the whole economic system of the world because of what? Because we didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't buy a house. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a credit card. Well, those people may not be a part of it, but if you had a credit card and you bought a house or bought a car or bought a washing machine and you're making payments every month, you are the problem. But then you also remember you're a great, powerful, mighty, spiritual being with dignity, direction, and purpose. And you're going to be that a whole lot longer than you're going to be a credit rating. Mm. So what you're going to be forever is what you focus on. And then you take a good, solid look. And I always tell people, when you get napkins, especially, I always bless my food. I always am thankful because I know from all my experiences in this world and in the next world, gratitude is one of the most powerful. When you give thanks to something, the universe realizes that you recognize its love for you. And when gratitude and creates a state of grace, that you're always looking for a place of what to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. Well, when you discover that gratitude, count your blessings, everybody. Quit whining. Mm-hmm. Sit down and count your blessings. What do you have to be thankful for? And you have automatically drawn to you the immutable spiritual laws of the universe that will come to help you get out of it. Mm-hmm. When you're whining and you're trying to blame somebody else and you woe is me because you believed in the government or you believed in the religion or you believed in your neighbor and it's somebody else's fault, you're not attracting to you those laws.
Right.
What you're doing is pushing yourself further and further around and away. And I tell people, I said, look, the spirit doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. All it knows is it's supposed to help you get what you want. So you're being miserable and depressed because you're going to lose your house and there's a possibility that, you know, you've overextended yourself. Well, the spirit says if you're having such a good time being depressed, let's burn the house down. And then you're more depressed because the house burnt down and spirit's over there just celebrating because they think they gave you what you wanted.
Exactly.
Got to get over that, everybody, because we will never take back our identities as spiritual beings as long as we're pushing ourselves further and further. And $8 trillion to bail out the American economy based on the last 30 years,
right.
We've been crazy.
So regardless of how everything appears, if we were to all get on track and realize our own power, I mean, we could eliminate anything, couldn't we?
Absolutely. It only takes 3%. If you look at quantum physics, it only takes 3% to be able to affect complete change.
That's not a lot. That's pretty sad, though. That's saying that more than 97% of us, what are we thinking?
Well, it gives us something to do.
Yeah.
If everybody was perfect, then why in the world would I want to come here? And what difference could I make? I'd rather it be 95% I have to work with to change as opposed to try to get to 3%.
Right.
But it's just 3% of that 95 I have to get to. And this is what this show is helping me do, and this is what you do, and what you do is helping it to be done. And then you just push forward. I'm not going to go crazy. And I know I'm right on the edge like a lot of people because raising children and them living in the I, me generation, and you and I come where you're not where I am, but coming from the generation that came out of the 60s, this is it. But I'm not going crazy.
No. But I guess what I want our listeners to understand is regardless of your situation, that you can awaken to move past it. If
it's not real.
Right.
It's an illusion. It is not real. If you look at it from simple economic factors, first, we're printing money that doesn't exist and has no value.
Mm-hmm.
We're paying people with debts that are based upon your ability to buy something. The Chinese, we owe the Chinese $1 trillion because we had Walmart. $1.9 trillion.
Right.
Okay, now think of that. It's crazy.
It is.
Totally and absolutely crazy. But the whole point of it is this. We are beginning a new cycle. It'll be a 2-year cycle to 2010.
Okay.
And in this, we must be alert. We must persevere, and we must call on the carpet. Mm-hmm. Everything that we see is injustice, and we must write our congressmen. We must write our senators. We must write our supervisors. We must write the people at local government and ask them questions.
Exactly.
Why is this? Why is that? The one I was on the other day, when people asked me who was I going to vote for, I told them I was not going to vote for 90% of the incumbents in my district and my place, because if you look at, we cannot find $5 trillion in the Department of Defense, mm-hmm. in the Pentagon. We can't find $5 trillion. All we know is they got it. What happened to it? The IRS cannot find $4 trillion. Jeez. They can't find it. Although they know we paid it to them, they don't know what happened to it once they got it. Okay? If you look at the military-industrial complex, the average new weapon system is 2.5 years behind schedule and over $2 billion over budget. Now, if those are the people that we elected to be in charge of running our lives, and that's where it is, then whose fault was it?
Exactly.
Ours.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, you got to look at that stuff. And so I'm really glad that I don't know about John McCain. I think that Mr. McCain suffers from PTSD from 5.5 years in prison. Mm. And you never know what John McCain that you're going to meet depending on which day it was.
Right.
I didn't see anything wrong with him. You know, but I know PTSD, and I've seen worse cases in people who were in less combat and less stress than him. But I've been with people who were passing from this world that were in Bataan, and in the Bataan death marches, and I've watched them pass from this world to the next. And what people don't understand is 73% of all veterans who's ever served in combat fight a war. The last hours in life, they're fighting a war, because their mind goes back to the place where their greatest fear of death came into play, and this is what PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is. Mm. And so I can look at him and know that this is part of the driver that makes his conscious.
Exactly.
And I don't know Mr. Obama. Mm-mm. I don't know him. I listened to the rhetoric, and I think it was great, and I'm glad that we elected him. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad. But now comes the true test of our ability to keep them on task.
Right.
Because they're just going to print money that has no value whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And based on the decisions that he's made with the cabinet, it looks like he has the best of intentions. I mean, in my opinion, he's really trying to diversify the cabinet, so I'm hoping we'll see a good result of that.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I love it. I mean, you know, I don't know what Bill Rich is going to do as the Commerce Secretary.
Right.
What commerce do we have? All we do is make guns, bombs, and cars.
Yeah.
That's about to collapse. Would you give the big three money?
Personally, no. I don't understand why we would be supporting the car companies when we can't even get loans anymore. I mean, the consumer has a hard enough time borrowing money because of their credit. So who's going to buy the cars?
And they're going, yeah, I mean, this is it. But also this, it has to change.
Right.
How we power. How we power what we do. What is the source of energy? This is something else, Georgia, and I know we're skipping around, but it's New Year, and if people have simple things that they look at and they get the secrets of the light, I can help, and we can help change those lives. But mm-hmm. the other day, someone was asking me about UFOs, because I'd written in the books that I believe that in this period of time, 2008 and 2009, we would know unequivocally that we weren't alone. And people laughed at that because I'm not a big UFO person. You know, Catherine's a big crop circle person, but I'm not that. And I don't get involved in the UFO perspective, except I'm a good friend of Whitley Strieber's and Ann Strieber. And I just saw it in the vision.
Right.
So they said, well, Daniel, you said that they were going to be, that there was no fact that there was UFOs or there was alien life in 2008. Well, did that happen? I said, it's on Larry King every other week.
Yeah.
And Britain, France, Germany, Spain, Mexico, Brazil, and Iran have released their UFO files,
mm-hmm.
which you got military people, airplane pilots, you got police officers. You have people who are defining and saying that they saw craft the size of 5 football fields.
Aren't we on a need-to-know basis?
Well, I think they don't want us to know, so that the number one thing that with me as a selfish consumer, the first thing I'd want to know is something that could travel millions of miles and at light speed and change direction, make a 90-degree turn make a 90-degree turn at 50,000 miles an hour, then I want to know how much gasoline it had. What's its power source?
Exactly.
Because the moment we knew that there were power sources out there other than fossil fuel, and the fact that it would affect our religious principles and the moral character of now what we're dealing with, we have democracy against Islam. Mm-hmm. Not Christianity, but democracy.
Yeah.
Against radical Islam. So there is now, instead of religious factors, there is the power of the one vote. We're a republic. We're not a democracy. The only real democracy, there's only two democracies. That's Israel and India.
Wow.
You know, we're a republic. And so when you start to categorize where we are based on those principles, what is democracy as opposed to what is Islam or the Muslim faith,
mm-hmm.
you have begun to really see how crazy we've gotten.
Yes, we have.
It's crazy.
It is. It really is, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you here, because we need to hear how crazy it is.
And when you start to laugh, when you think, this is where I come from, Georgia, when I look at it from my point of view and I look at it throughout history, I see how crazy it is. And I can't help but laugh because, you know, my standard phrase, what are they going to do, kill me?
Right.
Well, big deal. That's nothing. And the rest of it is just looking at how we got ourselves here and collectively as a group figuring ways out of it.
Right.
I mean, you look at it. I'm on this big kick about genetically engineered and genetically modified foods. And I worry about how chemically you structure a grain so that it doesn't do something so it grows bigger, better, and faster, and how that assimilates in nutrition in the body.
Exactly.
And there is no way it could structurally do it. No,
you know,
way.
Our bodies aren't coming up with these new diseases and new dysfunctions just out of nowhere. I mean, it's for a reason.
Oh, it's designed.
Yeah.
So pharmacology, so big agribusinesses working in conjunction with big drug companies can create mineral and nutritional deficient foods so that the fact of the body starving or not getting its proper nutrition in a way that's natural as opposed to synthetic, they can create a drug that modifies the behavioral function of the human body based on it.
Well, I think that's why they call it a practice. The doctors have a practice because they're practicing on us.
They sell dope.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the great discoveries I discovered the other day was a guy scraped the skin line, the bladder of a lamb, mm-hmm. of a sheep, and he's created a cell structure that can grow limbs.
Wow.
And now they're going to grow hearts and bladders. They've already successfully grown bladders in the lab from being able to understand how cells know what to do. And soon we'll be able to have livers and lungs and stuff like that. So, and using nanotechnology as the way to implement it. This is one of the things I talked about in energetic medicine in Saved by the Light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today is true.
And you talked about microchips also.
And look at that. That was 1975.
Yeah.
Who in the world thought? Now in Indonesia, they're putting them in AIDS patients so they can track them. In America, they're putting them in dementia and Alzheimer's patients. Some industries are putting them in people's hips so they can go in and out of the buildings. The Mexican Attorney General's office is implanting every one of its attorneys so they can track where they are to keep them from being kidnapped and killed or meeting with narco companies or, you know, narcotics and drug cartels.
We've been putting them in animals, so we can
track
them.
Yeah, so you can find them.
So, and I'm assuming it's not going to stop there.
Oh no! Every passport has a chip in it, and every one of them has a RFID frequency antenna.
Wow.
You know, if you look at it, I put mine in the microwave for 8 seconds. You can't go over that, and you have to do it a couple of times because if you go over that, it'll catch on fire, and I burn up too many passports.
I'm sure you obsessed about that too, right? You were going to figure out exactly how long it took to do it, right?
Exactly. Obsessive compulsive personality. And I'm this way as a spiritual being too.
Yeah, but that's good. You're paying attention.
I'm going to figure it out. And you know what, Georgian? There's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. I will do this no matter what, because it's what drives me, and it's what that curiosity, that childlike curiosity to know, and I'm a good researcher.
I'm an analyzer. I analyze everything.
Get to the point. And you're beautiful on top of that.
Oh, you're sweet.
And I want to go, I want to mention something too. Elizabeth and Kat, my wife and daughter, have a program called Quantum Multimedia Productions.
They're doing
a program called, I guess it's about me, but it's called The Serendipitous Life. And they call it Destiny versus Design, which is you choose to come here and you're chosen to come here. Mm-hmm. And I call it Destiny versus Desire. Mm-hmm. But I want people to go to Danyon.com and look up. It's going to be held in Las Vegas, and it's just an evening with me at the MGM. And some of my special friends. And if you're in Las Vegas, I figure since they're always creating illusion and all those terms here, and it's supposed to be Sin City, you know how I am. That would be the place I'd jump on.
I love Las Vegas. I think it's great.
Oh, I do too. I wouldn't have traded it for anything. I would not go into California. I think it's wonderful. But it's The Serendipitous Life, Destiny versus Design.
That sounds intriguing.
Well, I think it's going to be terrific.
Yeah.
And we put it on the Strip. So if you come into Las Vegas in, I think they're going to stream it live, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. And, you know, I got some other dates where you're going to be appearing. You're going to be in Chicago next week, I think.
Yeah, that's Ions.
Yeah. And you're also going to be doing the annual Sacred Tour.
Well, we go to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Well, because this is 2012. Right. And you know how my kick the tires tours are.
Right.
You know how I am. You know, people who know me know that I get into stuff.
Yeah.
So
nothing's going to stop you. If you want to know, you're like, let me get in the middle of it.
Yeah, I'm like the Mayans. I've been going to the Yucatan for 40 years, long before I ever knew anything about the afterlife. I went to the 1968 Olympics. And while I was there, I went to Teo, these pyramids outside of Mexico City. It was the most fabulous thing I had ever seen.
Wow.
It was the most unbelievable structure. I could not believe who could have built this. And I didn't know any of the Mayans or the Atlantans or, you know, Mu or Lemuria, none of that stuff. And it wasn't because I wasn't curious about it. I mean, it wasn't because I was curious about it. I thought it was all hogwash. And so when I saw this structure, I started going down into the Yucatan. I saw Cancun when it was on a dirt road.
Wow.
I saw Tulum when you had to stop and it took you a mile and a half to walk there. And it was nothing but weeds and a bunch of old bricks. Mm-hmm. And I saw Chichen Itza and Uxmal and Palenque when there were nothing. Because who in the world could have built these cities and the genius of the astrophysics that they had put into place? And the Mayans invented the zero. Now, where would Bill Gates be without the Mayans? And so I started looking at this, and probably 15 years ago, I started going down there. Mm. And so we do tours. We go every year.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's sold out. I mean, if somebody wants to go, if they hear this and they want to go, just go to Danyon and punch that up. But I think it's sold out. It always sells out.
Yeah.
And we go, and you go as a Mayan. We take your birth date, and we go through what the Tolans, and we make you a Mayan. And so when you walk on these sites and you walk on these temples and these buildings, there were certain things in the Mayan tradition that this is who you were and this is what you thought based on going to these certain sites.
Right.
And we go to sites that no one goes to because they're not important to people. They're just a bunch of tourists looking at a bunch of relics and crumbling buildings. And you get your manual and you have to write in it every day or I will beat you. You know, I'm going to make sure that you come to get what you're supposed to.
Exactly.
And it's amazing at each evening when we have our sessions together how brilliant and what's most astounding information as a mind you come up with based on what your particular affirmation that a mind would have used during that day.
Well, I can only imagine what a great experience it is because, I met you for the first time in October, and I wouldn't have traded that for anything. It was a fantastic experience. So I can only imagine what a week would be like.
But it's every day, and I'm a slave driver, and Catherine is like she's always yelling at me for yelling at people. But if you come with me, you're going to get the information.
You're going to learn something. It's going to be useful.
And, you're going to be able to be in the middle of the next 3 years, what everybody's going to be talking about, and you're going to be able to talk about it from an informed point of view.
Exactly.
I call them the kick the tires tours.
Right.
You can hear about it, and you can talk about it and listen to it on television, or you can go with me. And we'll sit there and we'll look at it and we'll talk about it. And I've been going for 40 years. I know every site, who did, what it was. And this crowd's been around since 314 B.C.
Wow. They can't even fathom it. Yeah.
Well, watch how funny this is. We discovered Neptune in 1844. The Mayans knew about it in 2400 B.C. We discovered Pluto in 1932. The Mayans knew about it in 2400 B.C. We discovered Kara in 2002. The Mayans knew about it in 2400 B.C. We discovered Xena in 2003. No, Kara 2001, Xena 2003. The Mayans knew about it in 2400 B.C. and four other planets. So when you start to think about these people and wanting to look at what the Mayan calendar is all about and what the dates and time frames are about, you go down there and you walk in it. It's not like we're going to Egypt. It's 2 hours from Houston. Big deal.
It sounds amazing.
And too grand.
Exactly. If there is any availability, I hope any of the listeners that want to go will take advantage of it.
Yeah, just go to Danyon and punch it up, and I keep it very limited. If you hear this, you'll know if it's for you. If you look at the stuff on the website, you'll know it's for you. And if it is for you, then we'll figure it out. But I spend all day, every day with everybody.
Yeah, you can only kick how many butts a day, right?
Well, you can only drive so many people crazy. But you will be an expert on Mayan.
Right.
And what is Mesoamerica, but what you'll also become even knowledgeable of, is that there was a place that where there were continents, Atlantis and Mu or Lumeria. Because you can go to Planke. And you can walk around in the structure and the site in Planke, and you can go to a valley in India. And if it weren't for the screaming monkeys, you would not know whether you were in the Yucatan or whether you were in India.
Mm-hmm.
India, you can hear those monkeys, and everybody's got on a white outfit. But in the Yucatan, it's the same structure.
Wow.
It's identical. Same layout. If you shot it from the air and you looked at its structure, it's the same layout, the same way the columns are put and how you walk. So that means there had to be a common origin either there or in the Yucatan or somewhere in between.
Amazing. That is amazing. And you're going to be there for, I think, more than a week. You're going to be, it is a week, or 11 days?
Yeah, it's somewhere around 9 days.
Yeah, so that's a nice vacation.
and you know what we do at the end, at the very end, we swim with the dolphins. I have a place that we go because the dolphins are so cool. And we go and we get out of the bus and we put on our bathing suits and we swim with the dolphins so that people connect again to the universe after going through that. And then we would check into an all-exclusive resort. So everything you eat and drink and put your feet in the water and sit along the beach in the middle of the winter in January and it's 90 degrees.
I bet you look forward to this, don't you?
I love it.
I was going to say, you're probably counting the days right now that you
get absolutely, and I get a chance to meet new people, too, Georgianne, right. And I get to watch the perspectives of, most of the people are grown. I've had The youngest, I think, was 14, and the oldest was like 87. And if you'd have seen this 87-year-old woman swimming with the dolphins, you'd be excited about going again.
Mm. I bet.
I have the best time. I mean, and I celebrate it. It's a party, and it's not all that, you know, I'm not all serious. I appear that way, but I know what I want to get across.
Right.
And I know the stuff that I need people to do, and so that they open that spiritual divine consciousness in them, and this experience changes them.
Well, I want people to make sure they stay in touch with you. And you're also going to be in Birmingham, and you're going to be in Los Angeles in February. So our listeners have lots of opportunities to run
into Denver, Chicago, New York, Miami.
It would just be easier for them to go to Danyon.com and go to your upcoming events and just keep it bookmarked. Go there when he is in your area, because Danyon, you're traveling all the time.
Well, I mean, you make hay when the sun shines.
Yeah.
And I have the new book out.
Exactly.
And also, this is the time to get people involved in the secrets.
Now, they can get the book online.
I can get it anywhere.
And you can get it's in the bookstores now, right?
Yeah. Anywhere you want to get it. If you go to Amazon, you can get Saved and Secrets for like $25.
Wow. Now, the name of the book, again, is The Secrets of the Light, Lessons from Heaven.
Yep.
And it was written with your wife, Catherine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And who's wonderful. She's lovely. And
oh, no doubt. No, Georgianne is. She's magnificent.
She is. She's one of the kindest people. And
this
book, just to reiterate, is going to be very helpful for everyone. If you're feeling at all ill at ease, if you're feeling at all that you're out of sort, out of balance, that you really need insight, because, you know, Danyon can't be by your side every day, but he can sure be there in the book. So you want to get this book, because it is really going to help.
And use it, too, Georgia. And, you know, don't just buy it and read it, because it's stocked full of really funny and cool stuff. I mean, I guess I say that because I find life to be quite entertaining.
And you
are. But what it also has in it is a practical guide to deal with every day. If you think you have a problem that I can't figure out how to get you out of it, then, you know, read the book and try it.
Oh, absolutely. It's helped me. I mean, it really did. Catherine's book helped me as well. I really love it.
Well, The Jewels is a companion book, because everybody needs affirmations, because, once again, it's never what you do, it's why you do it. But you have to have an intention.
Exactly.
And what we write about, there's jewels in the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go through every day, if you don't have something that you base your spiritual life on throughout the day, there's too many ebb and flows.
Mm-hmm.
So a jewel, what we do, every one of us in this family, we do this. I do this every day. In the morning, I figure out my jewel. I open up the Jewels for the Soul, which you can get off the website or Amazon. And then I go through my day basing what I'm doing on that affirmation and that jewel.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do my life review, which is around 7 o'clock every night, when I do my life review, I see how much I stayed on course based on what the jewel is. Then I have a spiritual basis of gratitude to measure the rest of my day by.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do it, everybody should come up with their own affirmations. But until they do, Catherine wrote Jewels for the Soul.
And there's an affirmation for everything. So combined, and the fact that you can find these affirmations in the book as well, in The Secrets of the Light, which I'm very excited that people are going to have wider access to this book. And I'm going to have a link on my website as well. But,
oh, thank you.
But I want you to go to Danyon.com, because there's so much to read there about Danyon's near-death experience, everything he's been through. Sign up for his newsletter. I love when
the kinetics. What, you know how Catherine is. We decided to create an online magazine called Kinetics. You know, the energy kinetics is what moves energy.
Right.
And it's called Kinetics, and people can go and sign up for that. It's a magazine for spiritual activism.
Right.
You know, it's one of the big components. The spiritual activism is volunteerism, but it's also insights and information and health care. And we have about 20 people who are writing. Neil Donald Walsh is writing, because we don't censor him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, God, thank God someone has a magazine that they don't censor me. You write about Neil. You know, well, I don't care. I mean, I have to edit it a little bit in case you call people names, but I don't care.
Yeah.
It's really good, and the companies who are my alliance, my I call corporate alliance partners, but the people who advertise in it have good stuff.
Exactly.
You know, and I hunt them down, and I ask them, and if it matches to a certain segment, then I get them to come in and pay for it, you know, put their ads on. So I think it's online, and I think Catherine wants to take it into a print version so people can sit and listen to it while they're sitting on a toilet or read it. You know, it's bathroom information or taking a trip somewhere.
Right.
But
yeah, I think
I'm
a great
really
idea.
Proud of it. And if you don't keep your eye on her, she will figure 15 to 20 more things to do in a half hour.
Well, there's
It'll
plenty. There is plenty of information, insight, inspiration on Danyon.com. You'll find everything you want there. Everything we've discussed, all of the books, CDs, everything, your tour, where you're going to be, where you're going to show up next. It's all there. But I am just honored that you showed up here.
And any time I can ever be a part of supporting this, and I heard you're going to have Susan Miller. I am a big Susan Miller reader.
Yes.
I have gotten my Susan Miller horoscope every month for as long as she's been doing it.
She is incredible. I really enjoy her.
She does a good job. You can, I'd say 7 out of 10 times. Yep. Not 10 out of 10, but 7 out of 10 times, as she lines up your month, taking into consideration, it's an overview because I'm Cancer, July the 20th, I can draw great deals of data and information from that to be able to design my life, when I will sign something, when I want, mm-hmm. what's coming up, what I have to watch out for, when to be sane, when not to be sane. And I think Susan is terrific.
She is. I'm looking forward to that, too. But I want to thank you, Danyon, for being here. I know that you're busier than ever with the book out, with everywhere you're traveling, and I hate to take
TV
up
show.
More of your time. TV show?
Yeah, we're working on two TV shows. One is called Paranormal Matrix, and another one is The Electronic Seance.
Wow, I didn't know about that. That was a secret. I guess this is new.
Well, I mean, I would say that Paranormal Matrix, it's just been an idea. It started out as The Quest, but there's other people, these people from Arizona are doing it, and I see how to support and be a part of it. And the electronic seance is, I'm always sitting around looking at electro voice phenomena and looking at psychic mediums and looking at the fact that when we do digital television, when we go February the 19th to digital, from analog to digital transmissions, mm-hmm. high definition transmissions, that there will be communication systems set up that spiritual beings in other dimensions can come into this dimension. This is another one of the predictions in energetic medicine and saved and really brought out in At Peace, and now here it comes in The Secrets.
Well,
and
I
so what I wanted
back.
To do is we all have this high-tech super security stuff and homeland security. You know, you can look into, you can do gamma wave and microwave and infrared and look mm-hmm. into buildings and see who's in there and what gender they are. And you can literally take a photograph of people inside a building, and you can see from a satellite down into a building and see many kinds of different kind of energy forms.
Well, we're going to have to do a whole show on that, Danyon.
Hmm?
We need to do a whole show on that.
Well,
That's
I'm looking at ways with the new quantum dynamics and the new, like, radars and new forms of over-the-horizon radar, that why not bring this equipment together and focus it on the haunted houses and haunted buildings, places that's proven throughout history to be haunted, and to focus on them and then have good psychics in there and let them sense those beings and then photograph it and microwave it and look at it from 25 different points of view so that we can prove if this is true, which I already know it is, but that we would find methods that we use for our national security, that we could use those methodologies to detect a world that exists around us to help identify the multi-universe theory, and also to help ourselves identify that all this stuff that you and I are talking about and so many people in the quote-unquote Swami business creates validity, because that is going to be a transformative moment in the lives of so many people who are not skeptics, or but who are slightly not quite where they can believe what they feel.
Right, right. Exactly. Now, it's very important.
Well, we now have technology that is capable of doing this, where 20 years ago it was still just another story, another mythology or something somebody saw.
What do they? Nope. What's the expression, life imitates art?
Isn't it great?
And it's been here all along. It's been a part of us all along.
And now we're just developing the equipment that tunes itself. Look at it, digital compression. And look at digital information on television. When we go digital, that compressed stream of information, it will be so much easier for spiritual identities to be able to migrate in a harmony and balance into that frequency. So you'll be watching the football game that you used to watch with your dad, and then all of a sudden he's there.
I used to have my light bulbs would flicker. Radios would go off. I mean, this would be much easier for them to go digital too, right?
All that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it'll make it easier for beings to energetically harmonize with those frequencies and come back here.
Exactly.
Edison dreamed about it all the time and talked about the communication with the death machine, and I heard of a lady in Los Angeles that has a device that she can communicate, and people are appearing on screen. It's a computer-driven, and she has like a radionics computer-driven software that beings appear, and you hear them answering questions.
Oh, my.
I'm going over and see it in taper.
Oh, awesome.
Stream it on Danyon.
Oh, great. See, that's why everyone needs to bookmark Danyon.com, and you need to get... go to your bookstore or Amazon.com, whichever is more convenient for you, and you have to get the new book because it made a big difference for me in reading it. It was very insightful, and it helps get you back in balance again because I'm assuming that times for some people are not going to get any easier unless they start working on it from now.
Well, they're not going to get better.
Right.
We have to quit being a part of the problem and become a part of the solution.
Exactly.
And I believe that what Catherine and I are doing, just the same as you're doing, these are decision-making times. And the more data or the better you can frame it, like putting it in a little box to look at, the easier the emotional issues get out of the way and you can make spiritual, concrete decisions.
Exactly.
In who you are and how you're going to get out of the trouble you've gotten yourself in.
And we can do it.
We're all responsible for what's happening to us. We just collectively did it. Now we can collectively do something about it.
Exactly. And on
Happy
that
new year.
Yeah. And on that note, I want to thank you again, Danyon, for
thank
being
you.
With us this evening. And your insight is always valuable, and I hope we can have you back again in the near future. And
I look forward to it.
And come back again, everyone, next week for Susan Miller, because we're going to get some more insight, and we'll see what the stars have in store for us, too. So good night, everyone, and thank you.